Okay, before we get started with the show this week, we're going to hip you to some information that's going to make your listening experience so much better. We want you to check out the NPR One app for your phone, and you can use it to listen to Alt Latino, and it's a great way to find tons of new shows and stories, too. Great hand-curated podcasts and stories are always ready when you are on NPR One. You can find it on your app store. Just look for NPR One. And one of the things you can listen to is All Songs Considered. In any given year, more than 100,000 albums are released. 100,000. That's nearly 2,000 albums a week. And we know it's impossible for anyone to keep up with so much music. So our friends at NPR's All Songs Considered are here to help. Each week, hosts Bob Boylan and Robin Hilton find the best songs for you to fall in love with. You can subscribe to the All Songs Considered podcast now at npr.org/podcasts. And now let's start the show. From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. If you can't tell by the music, this week we're going to take a deeper dive into Colombian music, and we have a special guide with us this week. Our pal Beto Arcos is here visiting us from California. Beto, welcome.
Great to be with you, Felix. Thanks for having me.
Beto is a music writer for NPR and PRI's The World. He's also the host of a podcast, The Cosmic Barrio, and we're very, very happy to have him here. He just came back from Colombia, and we're going to kind of hopscotch around the country because he brought back a whole crate full of music, and we're going to try to dive into as much as we can. What are we starting with?
Well, this is a group from the Chocó region, from this area of Colombia that is very, very high energy. 80% African Colombians or Afro-Colombians. It's a band that you're familiar with, Herencia de Timbiquí.
Met those guys. Very nice.
They are truly amazing, amazing. They play this music that sounds very African. Key instrument here is the marimba. They call marimba de chonta.
Let's take a listen. When Jasmine and I made a trip there in 2008, we spent some time with these guys. And what was very impressive was their devotion to the tradition of the marimba in Colombian music.
Yeah, and what's interesting too, Felix, is that this is a region that is shared by Ecuador. You know, northern Ecuador in the region around Esmeraldas and this southern part of Colombia in the Pacific, they share this musical history. And when I was also in Ecuador back in February, I was told actually by a producer who told me that this is a region that they claim that the Ecuadorians got the music from the Colombians, the migration from the north of Ecuador, southern Colombia, went from north to south, and they brought the marimba de chonta to Ecuador.
So traditional music, but certainly in a contemporary sounding context.
Exactly, because you can hear the electric bass. They, you know, may add an electric guitar. They might add even some keyboards. There is this sense of, okay, we play this traditional music, but we want to push it forward. And that's what they're doing, Herencia de Timbiquí.
We're going to change gears a little bit, Beto. We're going to go from something very, very contemporary to something a lot more folkloric.
What you hear in this is traditional music, but taken to another level. This is a group called Rancho Aparte. This music is very different. This band was formed in 2005, and what you hear is a traditional Chocoano sound of what's called the chirimía. Chirimía essentially refers to the clarinet and sometimes saxophones and the bombardino, this like a small little it's a brass instrument.
So now you say that it's traditional music, but this is a new recording. Now, are these musicians, are they purposely going back and reviving or at least keeping this tradition alive?
Both. There are traditional musicians and there are musicians that are going back and reviving this with a kind of new sensibility. The idea here is that there is this incredible resurgence and interest in the African-based music in Colombia.
Why do you think there's a renewed interest on the part of listeners on the music?
I think it has to do with overall, across the country, there's this renewed interest in the roots of music, especially from the younger generation. This is something that started roughly around the mid-90s in Colombia, when people like Carlos Vives went and recorded and brought the gaitas and the drums from the traditional music of the cumbia and the gaitas, etc., onto the stage. And basically said to Colombia, look, we have this incredible richness, this amazing tradition and culture. Let's, you know, let's appreciate it. Let's play this music. This is ours. You know, we are an incredible country with a lot of rich traditions. And that's where that all of that sort of goes back to. This is, I like to call him the sort of Duke Ellington of Colombia. Yet he apparently was influenced and inspired a lot by Benny Goodman, because Lucho Bermudez was a clarinetist, first and foremost. But he was also a band leader, an arranger, a composer. And he made cumbia ballroom dance. He took it to the level of, let's look nice and well-dressed and let's go to the ballroom and dance cumbia. And people would go to the clubs in Medellin and Cartagena and Barranquilla and all these places and dance and swing and sway to the cumbia like they never did before. But the sound, like I said, it's an orchestra sound, and it's brass and it's percussion and it's voices. It's just one of my favorite sounds of Colombia. This is Lucho Bermudez and a tune called Gaita de las Flores. You'll recognize it's like a cumbia. It's basically an offspring of cumbia, Gaita de las Flores.
There were people in that band who were listening to American jazz, you can tell.
There's no question about it. He said it repeatedly. His biggest influence as a musician was jazz. He was listening to Duke Ellington and Count Basie and Benny Goodman, all the great big bands. And that's what he did. He said, you know, why not turn this music into dance music with a jazz orchestra? That was the idea. He was one of them. Another major figure, Pacho Galán, also of the same, you know, kind of idea, but different music, playing porros, cumbias, different musical styles that were danceable. People would go to, like I said, this was when cumbia was high society music. They would go to these. Well, I went to Medellin in November, and this friend of mine said, "You know, Beto, see that building right there? That's where Lucho Bermudez used to play. It's a hotel. Used to play in this ballroom right there, and people would go there all dressed up with their nice hats, and they would, you know, dance and swing to this music. This was like the high society, the, you know, kind of middle and upper classes going to dance cumbia, if you can imagine.
So where before they would turn their back on it, the society sort of frowned upon the music, and then all of a sudden it was popular.
Exactly. Because remember, you know, this is music that comes from the sticks, from the mountains, from Los Montes de María and the region south of Cartagena and Barranquilla in the country. This is country music this is a confluence, a very perfect confluence of indigenous, black, and Spanish all coming together with the drums, the percussion, and the dancing. But it's very African music and very, very Afro. So what he did is he said, this is great music, so let's do something with it. And that's how he kind of reimagined cumbia.
Okay, Beto, tell us why you were in Colombia, because you were there for a very specific music festival, right?
I was there to attend a festival of vallenato called Festival de la Leyenda Vallenata in Valledupar, in the northeast of Colombia, in the region where this music comes from, Valle de Upar, the valley of the Upar, of the chief that gives the name to the city. This festival has been going on for 49 years. It was founded and supported by intellectuals of the likes of Gabriel García Márquez, and they created this festival in 1967, so it's going to be 50 years next year. And I've been wanting to attend this festival because I heard about this festival more than 20 years ago. And I dreamed of going to this festival. And little did I know what I was going to arrive at. I'm going to put into a couple of sentences what it was like to be there. Essentially, a life-changing experience that I never imagined I would have an opportunity to see. This is a festival that celebrates vallenato in every shape, size, and form. Vallenato at the roots and vallenato at the pop level, because now, you know, the music has become very, very popular, not just in Colombia, but outside of Colombia. And so the festival is multi-layered and in different stages and different areas where you can go here and listen to music. And so I was just in this place for 4 or 5 days, and I said, wow, I never imagined something like this existed, because the festival basically takes over the entire city of Valledupar for a full week. And there are all these stages where you go and hear the competition at the different levels. There's children's competition, there's youth competition, and there's the adult competition. And not only that, there's the accordion competition, and there's the song competition, and then there's the free verse competition. And so this is happening all throughout the week. At the very end of the week, on Saturday, it's when the final is. Basically, after all of the rounds of competition, of the hundreds of, you know, of musicians and artists that perform, finally, the main stage of the festival, which, by the way, is not a small stage. There's this place holds 25,000 to 30,000 people.
Wow.
And that place was packed. And so that's where the final day of the festival, the final competitors take the stage, and basically whoever's the best accordion player in the different categories, in the children's, in the youth, and in the adult category, is crowned Rey Vallenato.
Then let's hear Vallenato. What do you have?
Well, I did a story about the connection between Gabriel García Márquez and Vallenato. He wrote, famously, 100 Years of Solitude, but he also wrote many other books where he references Vallenato or a composer, one of the biggest composers of Vallenato, Rafael Escalona, and others. Well, in the epigraph to his book, Love in the Time of Cholera, Gabriel García Márquez wrote the verses of a vallenato composed by Leandro Díaz, a blind composer, one of his favorites. The verses are for the vallenato, of the vallenato called Diosa Coronada, Crown Goddess. And the verses read something like this. The words I'm about to express, they now have their crown goddess. That's the epigraph in Love in the Time of Cholera. And when you hear this song, as performed here by the son of the composer, his name is Ivo Diaz, and one of the great, most deep accordion players on the planet, the great Colacho Mendoza, you're going to hear Ivo say something in reference to Gabriel García Márquez.
Gabriel García Márquez, aquí está lo que te inspira. Señores, vengo a contarles, hay nuevo encanto en la sabana. Señores, vengo a contarles, hay nuevo encanto en la sabana. En adelanto van estos lugares, ya tienen su diosa coronada. En adelanto van estos lugares, ya tienen su diosa coronada. La vida tiene buen adelanto si tiene diosa de los encantos, si tiene su corona de reina. Aquí está el Magdalena y si tiene su corona de reina, lo bello, aquí está el Magdalena. Paso a contar lo siguiente, conozco diosa y rey querido. Paso a contar lo siguiente, conozco diosa y rey querido. Ese nombre de Dios es de gente que tenga su grado distinguido. Ese nombre de Dios es de gente que tenga su grado distinguido. Que viva el mismo movimiento y tenga el mismo pensamiento. Que viva al ir en la sabana, ya tiene su diosa coronada. Y canta el pobre Leandro Díaz, triste por la serranía. Y canta el pobre Leandro Díaz, triste por la serranía. Cuando el rey querido llega de tarde por la serranía, cuando el rey querido llega de tarde por la serranía, hay que ponerle gallina rellena, que el rey es fino, madre mía. Hay que ponerle gallina rellena, que el rey es fino, madre mía. Le pone la mesa bien servida, tú sabes que el rey es gente fina. Le pone un gran arroz volado que coma el rey considerado. Le pone un gran arroz volado que coma el rey considerado. Cuando el rey llega de tarde, que mira el jardín florecido. Cuando el rey llega de tarde, que mira el jardín florecido. Cuando la diosa mueve el caderaje, se pone el rey más engreído. Cuando la diosa mueve el caderaje, se pone el rey más engreído. Y llega, la mira con anhelos y dice, gracias le doy al cielo. Que viva alegre la sabana, ya tiene su diosa coronada. Y canta el pobre Leandro Díaz, triste por la serranía. Las delicias de la vida son las miradas de la diosa. Las delicias de la vida son las miradas de la diosa. Será por eso que el rey se sofoca cuando hay otro hombre que la mira. Será por eso que el rey se sofoca cuando hay otro hombre mira deseará volverse una visión y luego pasarle el corazón que viva al ir en la sabana. Ya tiene su diosa coronada y canta el pobre Leandro Díaz triste por la serranía. Y canta el pobre Leandro Díaz triste por la serranía.
Is vallenato the only form of Colombian music that uses accordion?
Certainly not. Cumbia. Cumbia for a long, long time. In fact, a lot of people associate accordion first with cumbia, then with vallenato. It's actually quite pervasive, the accordion. But mostly, I would say, it's really those two musical styles.
I think we want to encourage people to take out their phones and pull out a map of Colombia while they're listening to this show, because we're hopscotching all over the place. Not if you're driving, of course, because now Beto's going to point us to another part of the country.
We're now going to listen to a singer named Victoria Sur. She's originally from Quindío, a region part of the coffee axis of Colombia, where, you know, everybody knows Colombian coffees, right?
Sure.
One of the best coffees. She's from that region. She sings here what's considered new Colombian Andean song. She sings in a style known as bambuco, a style of music that was very popular, decades ago. And she kind of, again, with the idea of going back to the roots and reinterpreting.
Okay, this track is taken from a tribute to Aterciopelados, the pioneering rock and español band from Colombia. This track is called Si No Se Pudo, Pues No Se Pudo.
Cocodrilo, no llores, no llores, con lágrimas ni temblores. Cocodrilo, no te acalores por las penas. De amores, ya no te llevo en la cabeza y no me pesa ni me molesta y no lloro por ti. Me has obligado a usar la fuerza y has matado toda esperanza. Que duela, se acabará. Y siempre que llueva, te mojará. Y aunque te empapes, se secará.
Que dure 100 años.
Okay, let's get right into this next one. Where's this one from and who's performing it?
This is none other than the maestra de señora, the great Petrona Martinez. She's from a region in the Departamento de Bolívar, in the province of Bolívar, in on the Caribbean side. And she's the mother, the mama of bullerengue. This is infectious dance music. But what you're going to hear is Petrona Martinez taken to the Afrobeat electronica stage with this fantastic band called the Afro-Influenced Funk Federation. And this is called Oye Mi Mama, and it's an Afrobeat bullerengue.
Okay, Beto Arcos, we've been all over the country, heard a lot of different styles of music. What are we going to close the show with today?
We're going to close at the capital of Colombia, in Bogotá. But we're going to close with a collaboration between a musician who is the heir to the great accordionist of Colombia, Andrés Landero. This is someone that was mentored by Andres Landero. His name is Carmelo Torres. This is a project called Carmelo Torres, the accordionist, y Los Toscos. And this is a tune by one of my favorite composers, singer-songwriters from Colombia, whose name is Edson Velandia. This is one of the most incredible figures in Colombian music today. And the tune that he wrote for this project is called La Antropología, The Anthropology.
Usaba gafas oscuras de Ray-Ban y unas abarcas que no le quedaban. Usaba gafas oscuras de Ray-Ban y unas abarcas que no le quedaban. Mi mamá pedíme que yo le enseñara cómo se toca la cumbia del pueblo. Mi mamá pedíme que yo le enseñara cómo se toca la cumbia del pueblo. Porque él quería incursionar en eso, que en Bogotá no saben cómo es. Porque él quería incursionar en eso.
Beto Arcos, thank you so much for joining us, man. This was a lot of very, very cool music, and I'm tired from all the traveling, to be honest with you.
Well, we covered a lot. This show right here, the seven tunes we heard, give you a sense of the rich diversity of Colombia, and what the heck? I mean, you need to go there. I need to go there more often.
Let's go, man. Beto Arcos is the host of the podcast, The Cosmic Barrio. He's also a contributor to the folks here at NPR, NPRI's The World, and he's an old friend, and we're very, very happy to have him here, man. Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. This is so much fun.
And where can we find the podcast and more information about the music that you're playing?
Very simple. Just Google my name, Beto Arcos, The Cosmic Barrio. It's out there on the app. It's called Podomatic. So just go to the Podomatic app, and you can find The Cosmic Barrio podcast. And on Facebook, Beto Arcos with a double T. That's where I'm at. And Twitter, I'm at Arcos Beto. That's it.
And of course, you can always find us at npr.org/altlatino. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. We're NPR's Alt Latino. Jasmine Garge will be back soon. She's on vacation, taking a well-deserved break. Until then, this has been Alt Latino.
Pa' contagiarse de la tradición, que aquí en Colombia no es la sensación, pero en Europa sí es apetecida. Que aquí en Colombia no es la sensación, pero en Europa sí es apetecida. Esa cultura de tribu caníbal, que ellos no entienden cuando es natural. Esa cultura de tribu caníbal, que ellos no entienden cuando es natural. ¿Cómo hago yo pa' que me suene así? Me preguntaba que yo le dijera. ¿Cómo hago yo pa' que me suene así? Me preguntaba que yo le dijera. Y yo le dije, usted puede engañar al que no entiende de la melodía. Pero si usted lo que quiere es raíz, tiene que irse pa' su capital. Porque una cosa es el indio y otra cosa la antropología. Porque una cosa es el indio y otra cosa la antropología.